Well, why have I chosen this passage to speak on this morning? It's been pointed out to me that Elsie is Elsie Meyer, Mary, and Fionn is Fionn Martha. Two sisters, and here's a story of two sisters and a brother. And there's a lovely expression in verse 5, now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. The writer wants us to know the love and affection that Jesus had for this family. It's a place where he would go quite often. There's nothing more human than friendship and fellowship, spending time with people. And we're to know this morning that Jesus was fully human. He was a friend of sinners, and he loved this family. He would call at Bethany. When we lived in North Wales, a travelling secretary of the Christian Union who travelled round the colleges would come and stay whenever she was in Bangor, and she would come at odd times, having spent time with students, and she would say, do you mind me dropping in like this and staying overnight? And I would say, we'd love to see you, Anne, as long as you let me watch Match of the Day on a Saturday night. And she would come, and my point being that she would slot into the family activity and life in a relaxed, human, normal way. And the Lord Jesus, I can well believe, would find this family to be so normal and so enjoyable to have time with them, and he loved them deeply. Now this morning I want to share with you that I believe there are three things in this passage that the Lord Jesus does not do, and there are three things that he really does. The first thing we can see about the Lord Jesus and his relationship with them is this, that their relationship to him and with him did not spare them from illness and grief, from mourning and problems. The message came to him saying, Lord, he whom you love is ill. He's sick. And you get in that message the implied message, will you come quickly, please? You are the great healer. If you come, you can do what you've obviously done in many places. You've laid hands on the sick. You've perhaps said a word. Lord, he whom you love is ill. But he didn't come. The great healer himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. The equivalent for us is this, I'm praying, but God doesn't seem to hear, doesn't seem to answer my prayers. I'm praying that something might happen, that this would come about, and it's not happening. How disappointed Mary and Martha must have felt. They didn't hear him say to his disciples, this illness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God. They didn't hear that aside that he gave to his disciples. And so this morning we have to see that being a friend of Jesus does not mean an easy life with no problems, no illness, no hardship, no grief, no pain. If somebody preaches to you a health and wealth gospel, then they're preaching a false gospel. This family spent days in dealing with and struggling with and tending to the sick and to the illness. And Jesus stayed 2 days longer, we hear. He didn't get up and go, and it was a long journey, and he got there and it was too late. He stayed where he was for 2 days longer. How disappointing for them. turning to one another, "He'll be here shortly, surely. He must be on his way now. Has he had our message? He must have had our message. When is he going to arrive? We must get ready." And all the while, Lazarus is sinking. The disciples must have been wondering, why couldn't Jesus heal from a distance like he did in the one who said, "Don't come into my house, I am not worthy," this Roman centurion, "just say the word and my servant will be healed." And there were times when the Lord Jesus saved from a distance and healed from a distance. It did not save them from illness and grief. And many people here this morning, I'm sure, can testify to that. That love and suffering are not incompatible. God's love, Jesus' love, does not pamper us. It perfects us. So it does not do that. It didn't save Lazarus. Secondly, it didn't save Lazarus from physical death. The Lord Jesus said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep." And so the disciples thought, "Well, that's marvelous. The fever is over. He's now sleeping. He's now resting. He's on the road to recovery." And then Jesus said, "He has died." They didn't understand until he spoke plainly, "Lazarus has died." We use words like "he's passed on," "he's passed away," "he's left us." We don't like to speak of death. And coping with death is an issue for all. And the Bible teaches about death that it is very real. It came about because of sin. That's the explanation for death being in the world, that man sinned and therefore died, and death came upon all men. And it will be the last enemy to be destroyed, we read in the book of Revelation. That's the final word on death, when God removes it and deals with it and finishes with it. And Revelation tells us, when death shall be no more. But it did not save Lazarus from death in this world. The Lord Jesus does not save us from death unless, of course, he returns as he has promised to do. And whenever that is, then those who are alive will be spared that experience. And thirdly, it did not prevent doubts on the part of Martha and Mary. If we look at verse 21, we read that when Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, but Mary remained seated in the house. And Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." Clearly, she thinks the Lord Jesus can't now deal with this situation. If only you'd come, then we might have seen a miracle. If only. Doubts on the part of Martha. And then later, Mary uses the same words. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." It's clear to see, isn't it, that they would have said this to one another so many times after Lazarus had died. If only he'd come, then he would not have died. We're sure he would have done something about it. But doubts about what Jesus can now do. Do you have doubts? Doubt is not the same as unbelief, rebellious, deliberate unbelief. I'm sure that many of us here this morning have had doubts from time to time, have raised questions. If you're a thinker at all, you'll have some questions and perhaps doubts. Can I suggest this morning that you tell those to the Lord Jesus in prayer? Ask him to help you with those doubts. Like that man whose son was healed and he said, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief." I'm trying to believe. Doubt is not the same as unbelief, a questioning attitude. We remember doubting Thomas when the Lord Jesus appeared in the upper room to the disciples, and Thomas said that he wouldn't believe unless he saw the wounds and the marks in the hands and the feet. But when he saw the Lord Jesus, he fell at his feet and believed. He trusted. He had difficulties, he had doubts, he had issues. And I am sure that there are those here this morning who have questions about this and that in the Christian faith. Three things the Lord Jesus wants to deal with now. He wants us to look to him. He wants us to look to him. When Martha met with the Lord Jesus, and these three things are perhaps primarily with each, with Martha and with Mary, with Lazarus. And first of all, with Martha. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, you see, the faith is fighting to come to the surface here. Even now, I know whatever you ask from God will give you. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And she says this, I know he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. She expresses and speaks of things that are true. But this is just orthodoxy. This is just religious truth. It's not yet real for her in the Lord Jesus, in that relationship with him. She's saying things that she knows are true. They're in the Bible. I know there is a resurrection. She would have been taught that by the Pharisees and in the synagogues. She'd learned many true things. And again, I am sure that there are people here today who know what the Bible teaches, who know that the Lord Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, that he's died on the cross as a penalty and a punishment for our sin, that he lives now, he rose from the dead, and he intercedes for us in heaven. We know those things, but is it real for you, and have you met him? You may have been to Christian classes, you may have read Bible stories, and you have a belief. And look how Jesus deals with her. He says, there's a resurrection. She says, yes, I know there's a resurrection. Do you believe this? He says. She says, yeah. And then he says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. It's as if he's taken her chin by his hand and he's lifted it up and said, just look at me. Look at me. Don't give me the platitudes and the sayings and the teachings. Look at me. I am the resurrection and the life. And dear friend, this morning, that's what I want you to do. You've heard the things, you know these things. As a minister said to me once, do you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for sins? Yes, yes, I said. What's holding you back, he said. What's holding you back? Do you believe, do you trust? I am the resurrection and the life. Look to him. Don't look away this morning. Don't hide in your religion. Look at me, Martha, says Jesus. Mark my words, I am the resurrection and the life. And what does she say? Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into the world. I've seen it. I see it. Jesus wants you and me to look to him. But secondly, and this perhaps deals with Mary, or comes out when he's speaking to Mary, he feels with us this morning. Mary came, she was too upset and distressed and helpless to leave the house. When Martha said, Jesus has come, well, it's too late. What's the point? I'll stay here, you go. And Martha comes back and says, privately to her, that it's not overheard. Remember, there's still a danger from the Jews, and perhaps the Lord Jesus wanted to speak to Mary on her own. And he says, the teacher is here and he's calling for you. When she heard it, she rose quickly and went to him. And when she came to him, she fell at his feet. I think it's lovely that whenever we see Mary, she's at the feet of Jesus. She's at the feet of Jesus, wiping his feet with her tears and anointing his feet. She's at the feet of Jesus, being taught by him in the house when she should perhaps be helping. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? She could have been helping Martha in the kitchen. And the Lord Jesus says that this is the important thing, to be listening to him, not being in the kitchen. But she's at his feet, and here she falls at his feet, saying to him, Lord, here it is again, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And this is what I want us to see. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who had come with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in his spirit and greatly troubled. Where have they laid him? Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus wept. Now, the word here in the original for they are weeping and Mary's weeping is wailing. And it's a different word for Jesus. It's a groaning. They are almost silent tears. But he feels with her. And dear friend, he feels with us. He feels with the sad state of this world, how it grieves him. He got alongside to sinners. He was deeply, deeply moved. There is a word, isn't there, sympathy, where we feel pity for someone. And there's another word, empathy, which says we feel with them. You're in their place, you're in their shoes. And the Lord Jesus, again I repeat, was fully human as well as fully divine. He was in Mary's shoes. He sat where she sat. He stood where they stood. He loved Lazarus and groaned at the thought of death and suffering. And what did the people say? See how he loved him. See how he loved him. One commentator said that that should be the expression for every one of us when we look at the cross. See how he loved us. And then finally, we're to know that Jesus has all power. And we see this in the passage where he calls Lazarus from the tomb. He has all power. He wants us to know that he has power, yes, even over death itself. Are you afraid of death? The Lord Jesus has power over death. In Hebrews 2, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil. He destroys death. He destroys the one who has power over death. And he did it by dying and rising again. And when I read this passage, I thought, when the Lord Jesus rose from the dead, nobody human saw that act. They met the risen Lord. But here, they're at the mouth of the grave. And he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. What's happening inside the tomb? We don't know. I suppose you could say we don't actually see the resurrection itself, the stirrings of the body. But there they are, and the dead man comes out. He who had died, the man who had died, came out. his hands and feet bound with linen strips, and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." This was the seventh miracle that John speaks of, the climax of the miracle, seven signs that Jesus was the one he claimed to be. John chooses his miracles. He picks them out, and this is the last one, the most amazing. Well, every miracle is, of course, is totally amazing. And this now is going to lead to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, because the Pharisees, when they heard about it, they said, "We've got to do something." And they tried to kill Lazarus as well as Jesus. If you read on in the passage, you'll read about the plot to kill Jesus. This is the final straw. And very soon, the Lord Jesus would be hanging on the cross himself. Dear friends, this morning, I want us to remember the three things that Jesus wants us to have and wants us to see. He wants us to look to him. He wants us to know that he feels with us and for us because of his love for us. And he wants us to see that he has all power, even power over death. Yes, Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and their brother Lazarus. Will you this morning pray for your brother and your sister? Pray for these two little girls. Pray for the children in the church, the brothers and sisters gathered here. Those of you who normally attend and you have children, let's include them all in our prayers. In dealing with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus, Jesus also showed his disciples his authority and his power and his love. He teaches us that death is real, but he has power over death. And the body will be raised. I will raise him up.